Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines. From blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or the Sports Animal app, thank you for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. And that was not great for Tennessee on Saturday, falling to Missouri in the rematch between those two teams, 73-64. Missouri led for really the entire game. Tennessee was able to close the gap to 4 points in the second. And then Missouri responded with a 7-0 run to take control of the game yet again. The Tigers go on to win and improve to 4-2 in conference play. Tennessee drops to 4-3, losses to Alabama, Florida, and now Missouri. All good basketball teams, but Tennessee has not looked good, especially on one end of the floor or the other, especially on defense. And while the numbers felt more promising for Tennessee on offense when you just look at shooting percentages and things of that nature, all in all, it was not the performance that you really needed from Tennessee, and a lot for Rick Barnes and company to be frustrated about following that loss on Saturday to Konzo Martin's team. So Tennessee, in the first matchup, if you remember, back on December 30th between these two teams to start SEC play, Tennessee shot 50% from the floor, 71% from three. They only took seven attempts and then went 14-24 from behind the arc. In this matchup, Tennessee shot 43% from the field, 40% from three. They took more three-point attempts. They went 9-22 and then shot 13-21 from the free throw line. So the numbers obviously better the first time around, but those are still good numbers. So overall, 43 and nearly 44% from the field, 41% from three-point range is pretty good, and then 62% from the line. Tennessee still got offense generated from the charity stripe. The big difference was turnover in the first matchup between these two teams. Tennessee won the game by 20, and along with shooting 50% from the floor, Tennessee had 14 turnovers. Missouri had 21. Tennessee, an issue that is starting to grow within this offense. Tennessee had 18 turnovers. Missouri just 11. So the winning side has had seven fewer turnovers than the opponent in this game in both matchups this year. So Tennessee struggling to take advantage of possessions, too many empty possessions for Tennessee. And you put that in part with not playing well in the first half, getting off to a slow start offensively. And that's something where we've seen Tennessee in games where it's had to claw back and win. Tennessee has not always gotten off to a fast start offensively. Against Cincinnati and Colorado, it did, and then it allowed teams to get back into those games. Against Arkansas, it had to come back and rally from a halftime deficit before winning that basketball game. But I truly thought that against a slower-paced team like Missouri, Tennessee was going to be able to run its half-court offense with a little bit more efficiency, and it didn't do that. The shooting percentage is nice. The shooting percentage was good enough in and of itself to win the game. The problem is that when your opponent takes nearly 10 more shots than you do and gets to the free throw line roughly the same amount of times, well, Tennessee wasted possessions. And so Missouri took 9 more shots than Tennessee did from the field. Tennessee took one more free throw, but ultimately Missouri controlled that basketball game. And it certainly helps when Jeremiah Tillman and Xavier Pinson are able to continue being those veteran players that they have. Drew Smith has grown exponentially as an offensive player. He had 18 points in this game. Pinson went off for 27, 3 of 3 from behind the arc and 10 of 14 from the field. And that was essentially Missouri's offense. Nobody else scored in double figures besides Drew Smith and Xavier Pinson. And for the Tigers, it's another quality win. They've now beaten, I believe it's 3 top 20 teams at least at this point in the season. So they avenge a loss from Tennessee earlier. They improved to 4-2 in conference play. Tennessee already 3 conference losses just 7 games in, and now winning the SEC regular season championship. Unless the Vols go on a major run here, that just doesn't seem likely at this point in time. When you consider that Alabama continues to win, LSU, despite losing on Saturday to Kentucky, is still a really good basketball team. And then now Missouri off to a 4-2 start. It just doesn't seem likely that Tennessee is going to be able to pull that out. Still a lot of basketball left to be played, so we'll see if that changes. But that's kind of the frustrating part, and it's unfortunate because you had Eve Pons actually have a good shooting day. He hit three pointers. He had 20 points in this game, 5 rebounds, a pair of blocks, was 6 of 11 from the field. Victor Bailey Jr. came off the bench and played 32 minutes and had one of his better shooting days since he's been at Tennessee. 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from long range, and then 12 points overall to go with 3 assists. And Tennessee just didn't get the ball movement it was looking for. It had 12 assists to 18 turnovers. And 21 made field goals to those 18 turnovers. And so it's just a lack of efficiency in these last couple of games where the turnovers and the assists, the turnovers are rising, the assists are dropping, and the made field goals are too close of a number to the turnover rate. And you can't have that when you're Tennessee. For Missouri, 11 assists to 11 turnovers, 25 made field goals. They've got more guys that can kind of play some one-on-one basketball. And Tennessee lost the rebounding battle again, 34 to 29. So you reverse all of these things that Tennessee did. Tennessee shot better against Missouri. It won the rebounding battle against Missouri. It won the turnover battle against Missouri. It had more assists against Missouri the first time around. You reverse all of those things, and you're going to get what looked like a bad loss to Missouri on Saturday. And when Tennessee beat Missouri back in December, Tennessee only had 9 assists, but it was scoring a lot in transition, and it was using its guards to, you know, generate offense and score points and get inside. And you had Vescovi scoring 15, you had Pond scoring 13, you had Fulkerson scoring 11 in that game. And then Jaden Springer came off the bench, and his ability to finish was really put on display in that game. But for Tennessee, you have Pons going off for 20. Josiah Jordan-James, you saw him score 12 points, but on 12 shots. 4 of 12 from the field, 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. And then you had Victor Bailey Jr. scoring 12 points on 7 shots. So you're not seeing the most efficient offensive performances here by Tennessee. And the Vols continue to drop in those KenPom rankings and are now down at 58 in the KenPom rankings in offensive efficiency, 18th overall. So Tennessee, after starting the season at 20, then wasn't able to play for a while, kind of dropped back to 21, went up to 16. It was floating around there. They're at 18 right now, but that 58 offensive efficiency ranking is the lowest it's been for Tennessee throughout the entire season. And if that doesn't get better in a hurry, it's going to continue to drop. And keep in mind, just a week and a half ago, Tennessee was ranked in the top 30. It was knocking on the door to get into the top 20, which enters that criteria of, oh, top 20 offense, top 20 defense means you meet the criteria of a national championship team. And that has not been the case for Tennessee. It's looked really rough offensively in its last two games. You hope that that's a slump. The defense is still ranked third in defensive efficiency in the KenPom rankings. But the thing is that Tennessee in some of these losses, I know you look at the point total and say, well, Missouri scored more than 70. Again, what happened against Florida was bad. Tennessee played bad defense against Florida. Tennessee played mediocre defense at times against Missouri, but it still held Missouri in a drought long enough in the second half that if Tennessee had made a move, it could have come back, and it didn't. Tennessee just doesn't have the offense right now to complement that elite defense. And you are seeing, not just with Tennessee, but other defensive teams we've seen this year, if their offense doesn't get rolling, they lose games that they shouldn't. You saw Clemson take another bad loss, this time to Florida State. And Florida State's a really good team, but Clemson has been pummeled in, I believe, 3 straight ACC games now, and it's not working for the Tigers. And for a long time, they had the number one defense in the KenPom rankings. And so for a team like Clemson that has now lost, it's 3 straight games, all by double digits. Lost to Florida State on Saturday, 80-61. Lost to Georgia Tech earlier in the week, 83-65. Lost to Virginia, 85-50. So it's getting blown out by ACC teams. And some of these teams are good. Georgia Tech is okay. Virginia and Florida State are obviously a lot better. But that tough defense that Clemson has been boasting for a while now, it doesn't mean anything if the offense can't get rolling. And the offense hasn't gotten rolling in the last couple of weeks. Tennessee is starting to deal with a similar situation where if the offense doesn't start to produce and produce consistently and produce at a high level, it's in danger of losing games just because of all the turnovers that Tennessee's committing, and the lack of rebounding is giving other teams more possessions. And so it doesn't matter how good of a defense you have. If the opposing team is going to have extra possessions, they're going to have a better chance to win the basketball game. So Tennessee takes a 73-64 loss to Missouri. These two teams will split the regular season series. Missouri 4-2, Tennessee 4-3 in SEC play. John Fulkerson with just 7 points. Santiago Vescovi with only 3 points on 1 of 3 shooting.
Keon Johnson with 8 points. Jaden Springer, again, did not play. So all three of Tennessee's losses have come in games where Jaden Springer hasn't played. And I'm seeing this thrown out on social media a lot. I think it is significant that Springer is not there. I think he's a very important part of what Tennessee does, especially offensively. I think he might arguably be Tennessee's best offensive guard just because of his efficiency when it comes to driving the lane. I think he's the best guard there is at doing that. I think Josiah Jordan James has a high ceiling there because of his physicality and his athleticism. He has the ability to drive as well. But I think Jaden Springer has a lot to offer the Tennessee offense. The thing is that there's just that's not enough for me. He's started one game this season for Tennessee. He's been mainly coming off the bench, and I know he's playing a lot of minutes off the bench. But ultimately, that's not the reason. That's not the sole reason that Tennessee's losing these basketball games. There is still no excuse to lose to Florida on Tuesday night when they don't have Keontae Johnson, they don't have Scotty Lewis, they don't have Colin Castleton. Losing to Alabama the way that Tennessee did when its offense just shot so poorly, despite the defense putting it in a situation where it could have gone on a run late. And you're in those situations where you'd love to have Springer out there. I think you could make the argument that if Springer's in the Alabama game, then maybe Tennessee wins. But the Missouri game on Saturday and the Florida game on Tuesday night, Tennessee's just got to be better as a team offensively, ultimately. And I think while it would be nice to have Springer there and hopefully he's able to come back and recover and be back in time for the Mississippi State game, if that's a possibility, and definitely the Kansas game coming up on January 30th, you want to have all those guys out there because Tennessee right now is being looked at as a defensive team and against teams that are willing to up the tempo, which Missouri did. It's a faster team now than it was a month ago. Tennessee's going to get boat raced in some games, and it already kind of has. It got outrun up and down the floor by Alabama. It struggled against Arkansas. It got waxed by Florida and then lost what really felt like a one-sided game against Missouri on Saturday. We'll take a look around the rest of the SEC, the rest of college basketball, and now the Vols moving forward. They have to reset. They've lost two straight for the first time this season. Mississippi State is up next in the midweek contest for SEC basketball this week, and then the Big 12 SEC Challenge coming up on January 30th at Thompson Bowling Arena. I'm Joel Silverberg. It's the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal. So what did Saturday's loss mean for Tennessee in terms of the net rankings? The Vols dropped 8 spots to number 12 after losing to the Tigers on Saturday. So Tennessee outside of the top 10 after climbing as high as 3 at one point during the season. In terms of other SEC teams, Alabama is now number 9 after jumping up from number 18 a week ago. So it is the Crimson Tide that now are the lone SEC team in the SEC. Florida has jumped up 21 spots to number 26 after that big win over Tennessee on Tuesday. Missouri's up a spot to number 23. LSU is back 14 spots to number 35. So you still have a lot of SEC teams that are in that upper tier and being top 50 teams. And so that kind of helps out the SEC a little bit, but Tennessee's had some opportunities to pick up some quad one victories, and it hasn't done that this week. So Tennessee right now, as it stands by quadrant, all three losses have come against quadrant one teams, which that's at least a positive. You don't have any really bad losses. Now the Florida loss, I think, is going to be viewed as a bad loss by the committee, regardless of what happens with the Gators the rest of the season, just because of who Florida was out with, without from a personnel standpoint. On that loss on Tuesday, Tennessee is 1-0 against quadrant 2 teams, 2-0 against quadrant 3 teams, and 4-0 against or 5-0 against quadrant 4 teams, and again 2 wins against quadrant 1 teams this year. That would be over Colorado and Missouri. So Arkansas, since it was at home, is a quadrant 2 win, and Texas A&M on the road, but the Aggies rank outside the top 100. Vanderbilt ranks outside the top 100. So Tennessee's had back-to-back quadrant one opportunities. It's had an opportunity to get really nice wins to boost the resume, and it hasn't been able to do it. Mississippi State ranks 94th in the net rankings. That'll be a quadrant two game for Tennessee when it hosts Mississippi State on Tuesday, and then Kansas, of course, will be a quadrant one win because the Jayhawks are a top 20 team at this point in time. And then Ole Miss, Kentucky, Florida again at LSU, South Carolina, Kentucky again at Vanderbilt, at Auburn, and then at home against Georgia to cap off the season. So Tennessee right now ranks 58th in strength of schedule. It ranks 260th in non-conference strength of schedule. It would have been nice to get the Notre Dame game, the Gonzaga game to help that category, but overall Tennessee 12th
in the net ranking. So the Volunteers, unfortunately, unable to remain in the top 10 for the time being. It does have an opportunity to right the ship, though. If it beats Mississippi State and then were to beat Kansas on Saturday, I think Tennessee would jump right back into those top 10 rankings. The rest of the SEC on Saturday, Alabama beat Mississippi State 73-81. Auburn beat South Carolina 109-86. Alan Flanagan with a 24-point showing, and Sharif Cooper with another strong performance as well. Arkansas beat Vanderbilt 92-71. Florida beat Georgia 92-84. Ole Miss beat Texas A&M 61-50. Kentucky beat LSU 82-69. So LSU continues to be really inconsistent with how those two teams have played. I was not expecting that to be the case. And now LSU takes another loss that is kind of head scratching. So LSU now 5-3 in conference play. It's lost to Florida, it's lost to Alabama, and it has now lost to Kentucky. So the standings as of now in the SEC: Alabama 8-0, Missouri 4-2, LSU and Florida 5-3, Tennessee and Kentucky 4-3, Arkansas and Mississippi State 4-4, Ole Miss 3-4, Auburn 3-5, Georgia and Texas A&M 2-5, South Carolina 1-3, Vanderbilt 0-5. So Tennessee sitting in the middle of the pack right now in a tie for fifth with Kentucky. So the Wildcats have wins over LSU and Florida, and Tennessee, while it has some impressive wins on the season as well, it has not played its best basketball in some of the bigger games that it has had this season. So those losses to Alabama, Florida, and Missouri have set Tennessee back a little bit. And now the question really has to be asked is this a team that's even capable of getting to the Final Four? And at times the question was, can Tennessee get there? You know, this should be the team that'll have a shot. If it wasn't going to be the team 2 years ago, maybe it could be this team. But now Tennessee just looks like a squad offensively that will be lucky if it can get beyond the Sweet 16, which of course has only happened once in school history. So Tennessee, unfortunately, not playing its best basketball right now. A lot of time to change that, and another test coming up with the SEC Big 12 Challenge coming up on Saturday when Kansas comes into town. Other games from the weekend: Gonzaga crushed Pacific. So Gonzaga is now 15-0. Baylor held off a good Oklahoma State team, won that game by 15. Villanova got back on track. They had a long layoff after Jay Wright and a couple others on the team tested positive for COVID-19. Had to survive Seton Hall, but then they handled Providence pretty easily. A 15-point win for the Wildcats. Houston crushed Temple. Oklahoma upset Kansas. So Kansas also coming off a loss as well. This does not look like a good Kansas team. And that's why it's going to be really frustrating if Tennessee does not win that game next weekend, because it's still a high quality chance for Tennessee, but it's also getting a team that's not playing its best basketball. You've got to take advantage of one of these opportunities at one point or another. Since Kentucky does not look like a world beater, you don't know if that's going to be a win that necessarily boosts your resume, but that's still a talented enough team that you could lose to. So you need to pick up these wins while you can. Ohio State beat Wisconsin 74-62. Creighton snapped a two-game skid without Marcus Zagorowski. Zagorowski comes back, scores in double figures, and Creighton beats 23rd-ranked UConn 74-66. The Blue Jays had really been struggling offensively. Mitch Balick, with not having Zagorowski in there, did not shoot well. They lost to Providence. They lost to Butler in overtime. Butler was 3-7 going into that game. That was last weekend. Virginia beat Georgia Tech 64-62. West Virginia beat Kansas State 69-47. Syracuse upset Virginia Tech 78-60. Maryland upset Minnesota 63-49. So Minnesota at home had been really dominant, had played really well. Remember, they absolutely slugged Michigan recently before giving up the grudge match to the Wolverines a couple weeks later. But Minnesota just pummeled by Maryland at home. We mentioned Alabama beating Mississippi State. We mentioned Clemson losing to Florida State. Oregon State upsets Oregon 75-64 in the Civil War. Stanford upsets UCLA in overtime 73-72. Oscar De Silva with the buzzer beating layup to give his team the win. And a handful of pretty good games that were actually canceled. You had Texas and TCU. You had Illinois and Michigan State. And Texas Tech game against Iowa State was also postponed on Saturday. Only ranked team that was supposed to be in action on Sunday was Iowa. That game got postponed, so no ranked teams in action on Sunday. And then coming up on Monday, you have Syracuse and Virginia at 7 o'clock. You have Texas Tech and West Virginia, so a battle of two top 15 teams that's coming up at 9 o'clock. And then Tennessee will be back in action on Tuesday at 7 o'clock against Mississippi State at home. So Tennessee, a chance to kind of right the ship and get prepared for the Kansas Jayhawks. Kentucky plays Alabama again in that rematch at 7 o'clock. Missouri gets Auburn at 9, and LSU gets Texas A&M at 9 o'clock. That's actually a really good SEC slate. That could be four really good basketball games. That could be a lot of fun to watch. Tennessee especially, it's an important one for the Volunteers. Florida faces Vanderbilt on Wednesday night at 6:30. Georgia gets South Carolina. Ole Miss takes on Arkansas. So enjoy the basketball. Tennessee going to try to regroup and move forward after the loss to Missouri on Saturday. Mississippi State coming up Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have that game for you with pregame coverage beginning at 6:30 on 99.1 FM, the Sports Animal. And then we'll have the coverage on Saturday night for Tennessee and Kansas. You can bet on that, and hopefully it's a better performance for Tennessee this week than what we saw this past week, and that the Vols are able to hit the reset button after a couple of bad games back-to-back this past week. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. If you have a question for the pod, feel free to reach out at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Follow at Sports Radio WNML for everything that our station is doing regarding Tennessee's new athletic director, Danny White, the head coaching search for Tennessee football, upcoming basketball games, so much happening with UT Athletics. We've got it all covered for you at 99.1 The Sports Animal. I appreciate you checking out the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you after Tennessee takes on Mississippi State on Tuesday night, right here on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.